Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's go there.
With Shira and Ryan.
Oh my God. Entertainment.
Music.
Pop culture. LGBT plus news. Oh. Let's go there.
Starts now.
What's up? Happy Friday. Hope you had a great week. I can't believe a week ago today you were at Coachella.
I know. I thought you were going to make it about yourself in St. Nepal.
And then I was in the middle of the mountains about to hit Everest Base Camp. I mean,
like, and honestly,
a week does, you know, flies by and
I will say
changes
this. It took a week to get rid of your sunburn, which is, like, insane.
I was basically,
you have great,
like,
skin.
I'm tanned a bit. I'm not fully white because I was actually outside in the outdoors
for
a moment in my life.
But when you came back, you were, like, so red. So, but the fact that now, like, a week later, it literally just changed.
That's what time does.
I mean, shout out to that. It's
it
really
helps
good.
Sunburn. And everything. But, you know, today is a big day besides being Friday. It's like a big day for many religions. It's Good Friday.
Okay, yes.
Which is what? Do you know what Good Friday is?
I don't know. Let me go take my Bible
out
real
quick. Aren't you what, Catholic or Christian?
No, I'm Christian, but does that mean that I know? Do you know everything about the Jewish
thing? It's Passover tonight, which I would tell you, like, I know what we do.
Okay.
Yeah, you eat matzah, which is unleavened bread. It doesn't have flour because when they were going through their exodus or trip, they didn't have flowers.
Oh, okay.
All right. And you sit around a table and eat food.
The only day that really matters I feel like Good Friday, of course, matters, but only day that matters is Easter. And, like, you get all dressed up, you go to church.
Yeah. And then Easter Sunday, you know, was it Jake who works here said that he always celebrated Easter because he would do the Easter egg hunt. And then suddenly someone said something about church and he goes, "What do you mean Easter in church?" He just thought it was like a day where you go after eggs.
There was a magical bunny.
Yeah, and rabbit. Yeah. Isn't that so funny? Oh, Jake, sorry about that if you're listening.
He's totally listening. You just threw him under the bus.
He's not even one person that's here. We're the only people in the station. Everyone decided to leave early.
Yep, that just shows how dedicated we are. It's absolutely phenomenal. If you're listening out there, bosses, we really deserve a little Easter egg treat.
I just didn't realize how religious everyone was here at the station. Okay.
It's going to be like church service.
Actually, I was just about to invite you to our radio.com church service. We're taking over, Kanye. Sunday service.
Oh, I love that.
Okay, let's get into what's trending in the news right now. Top headlines of the day. Joe Biden, this is something we've been waiting for, supposedly going to make his long-awaited announcement to jump into the 2020 presidential campaign next week. A lot of people are talking about this. The format, date of the announcement, they're still in flux. But his team have been quietly laying the groundwork for a presidential campaign for months. Greg Schultz, a top political advisor who's preparing to oversee Biden's campaign, told Democrats on Capitol Hill earlier this week that everything is going ahead as scheduled.
I mean, honestly, at this point, the fact that we talk about Joe Biden and we talk about, like, the Pete Buttigieg, it honestly already feels like they've already announced and we're just like, oh, I don't know how I'm supposed to react when he makes his big announcement. I'm like, okay, we've been talking about you being a part of this race, even though you said you weren't a part of it just yet. So
anticlimactic, right?
Yeah, it's really not that big of a deal.
Okay, what about the Robert Mueller whole report and everything? Well,
that's just
part of it.
Worse.
Yeah, Sarah Sanders. It came out that she, you know, run her mouth a bit,
and she lied.
Yeah, she basically lied.
Yes, she lied.
Or they said, quote, slip of the tongue, and so they had evidence that she lied in many instances, and now she's defending herself against the Mueller report on her past Comey claims. And, you know, she did this on Good Morning America today. Here's the clip.
If you look at what I said the slip of the tongue was in using the word countless. But there were a number of FBI, both former and current, that agreed with the president's decision. And they've continued to speak out and say that and send notice to the White House of that agreement with the president's decision. James Comey.
I mean,
okay, Sarah Sanders.
Girl, she's just honestly really trying to figure out how to save herself.
Now, On to more political news. Richard Grenell, you know that the gay guy who's Donald Trump's ambassador to Germany?
I didn't know him until now because he's running his mouth.
Yes, he's saying that Pete Buttigieg, you know, he's talking about him, he's about his criticism of Mike Pence's anti-LGBTQ record.
Right,
and
right.
And so he said something crazy comparing them him to Jussie Smollett. Pete Buttigieg is Jussie Smollett, basically, which is crazy. We're going to play the clip after this break. It's ridiculous. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan.
Okay, so let's talk about Richard Grenell, the gay man who's Donald Trump's ambassador to Germany. He is now criticizing Pete Buttigieg. And we're going to talk about it with Jared Hill, our pop culture and political journalist.
Hey, welcome
back in the studio.
Of course.
I know you were taken over. Now you're our guest, our special guest.
Right. I'm just here to help out, you know?
So this is crazy. You got to hear and listen to this clip. It was from Fox News Channel's The Story with Martha McCallum.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard Grenell just went off on Pete Buttigieg. But the thing that he said that was so strange, and of course, you know, this is based on Pete's criticism of Mike Pence's anti-LGBTQ record, which we all know. And he says that, you know, he compares him to Jussie Smollett, which I know we have a lot of opinions about that.
Yeah.
So let's play the
clip. I have none.
None. I know.
Nope.
You never have opinions.
I have no opinions.
Let's play the clip right now and, you know, everyone can make their opinion.
Mayor Pete has been pushing this hate hoax along the lines of Jussie Smollett for a very long time now, several weeks. And I find it really ironic that Mayor Pete stayed silent about this so-called, hate hoax on him and others during, you know, 2015, 2016, 2017, when Mike Pence was governor. There was total silence. It's ironic that right about now, when he's starting his fundraising apparatus to run for president, that he comes up with this idea and this attack. Now, you ask me, do we agree philosophically?
So, one, do you agree with the fact that he's saying it's a hate hoax?
I hear him saying that, and I'm like, what does that even mean?
I know. Like, I'm very confused.
I think exactly he's very confused about what that means. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. And, like, I hear him saying this, and, like, I'm thinking about, he's a perfect example of how a member of a community can discriminate against the community that they're in, right?
For sure.
So, like, women can discriminate against women, like we saw in 2016, where there were women who didn't believe that Hillary Clinton, that a woman should be president.
Yes.
Black people can discriminate or have, like, a prejudice against black people, often do. And I mean, we just saw Aaron Schock, right? The former congressman who voted in all those anti-LGBTQ policies. So, he's kind of like the token that they're able to put out and say, like, oh, well, you know, I'm gay and he's been nice to me. And it's like,
yeah,
this is like, I'm not racist. I have a black friend. Right. So, like, I mean, and we also, like, we all know plenty of people who, like, who don't support us as LGBTQ people or don't support us as women or don't support us as black people or whatever, but, like, are in our lives. And so, like, Greg will say in this instance, like, oh, you know, Mike Pence has really embraced me and my family. And it's like, he's still implementing policies that are trying to end you.
Yeah.
Oh, Richard Grenell will say
yeah,
that.
Sorry. Yeah,
Richard Grenell.
I said Greg.
He said that it was a hate hoax comparable to the hate crime allegedly staged by actor Jussie Smollett, which we all are on different sides of that. But what are your thoughts on him bringing in this whole comparison to Jussie Smollett?
So, like, the Jussie Smollett piece, like, I don't even want to, like, give that attention or energy because I feel like he is trying to, like, pull on, like, the vitriolic nature of that debate. Exactly.
Yeah.
It totally is. It's one of those things of, like, trying to pull in, like, a big story to make another headline, right? And it's like, you know, I mean, if I were at home sitting on my couch, I'd probably use some expletives if we were having this conversation because it's so infuriating. And, like, that's what he wants to get out of us. So I'm not even going to give him that.
Should we play what Pete Buttigieg said that brought all of this on? Because I want to know, did he deserve all of this? Let's play a clip of him talking about Mike Pence.
This is somebody who was against Don't Ask, Don't Tell because he felt it was too pro-gay. He wanted to make sure that even closeted members couldn't surf.
Okay, so there's context that I think listeners should make sure that they have, right? Yeah. Pete Buttigieg is the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. Indiana's in the state that Mike Pence was former governor of.
Right.
You'll remember the biggest headline that came out about Mike Pence before he was going to be vice president was this religious freedom law that they were trying to enact in Indiana, where they were basically giving companies the right to discriminate against LGBTQ people based upon their religious freedom and not believing homosexuality was okay. And like that had major backlash for the state of Indiana, right?
Yeah.
And so like, that is like one of the many things that Mike Pence has done. You'll remember during the campaign, Donald Trump came out talking about how he would be a friend to trans people, how, you know, he would support Caitlyn Jenner and all that. But like, as soon as he became president, it was like transgender ban on the military, you know, attacks on LGBTQ people everywhere. So, I mean, they can try and spin this kind of stuff however they want, but like all of the evidence is like is sitting out there. All of us know this.
Yeah, and then this guy who obviously this gay ambassador Richard Grenell continues to say on this show on Fox News.
Where did he come from?
Yeah, I know where. He just picked him up from somewhere.
Yeah, we've never heard of him before this. Right?
He was cast in this
exactly
role.
Right.
He says Mike and Karen are great people. They're godly people. They're followers of Christ. And he said this on the Fox News show. They don't have hate in their heart for anyone. They know my partner. They've accepted us. You asked me, do we agree philosophically on every single issue? No.
I loved that because it was like, so that was like a subtle way of saying like, I mean, they don't agree with my lifestyle.
Yeah, right?
Like, because it's a lifestyle. It's not, you know what I mean? It's like all of that stuff. I'm just like, you know what, dude, like, I read the story and I was like, I can't even take this person seriously.
Yeah, he can just stay in his denial corner because clearly he doesn't get his own life.
He's like, well, they think I'm good at what I do, but you know, in terms of my lifestyle, they just hate me as a person. Okay, let's move on.
They'd have me over for dinner. Like,
it's a professional thing.
Yeah, but they don't want you to exist. How about that?
Okay, well, Jarrett Hill, thank you so much.
Of course.
As usual, you are amazing.
Pop culture
political journalist and our favorite go-to. Okay, coming up, we're moving into What's the Tea?
Yeah. It is all about Ariana Grande. She basically, you know, just had the best night of her life this past weekend, but she's opening up in a very vulnerable way. That's coming up in 6 minutes. You're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan.
Oh, hello. The pop star Ariana Grande is basically having the year. I mean, a really good year, I feel like. The last part of last year, of course, was also really great for her. But then I think the earlier that year, it was just very rough. And I think now she is still kind of reliving that. And especially with the hit of Thank You Next and Seven Rings and everything kind of just going. And she's put out these like two new albums. I just don't think she's kind of given her some time to just relax.
She's been nonstop.
Yeah, she's been nonstop. And so it's crazy that, you know, she just had this her big headlining moment at Coachella last weekend. And she just ended up basically kind of just talking about how she is just being very extremely candid with fans on social media. As she discussed kind of the ups and downs of mining her personal traumas for songwriting. Now, let's go back to what she's been through. So, of course, you know, she was rocked by that terrorist bombing outside of her May 2017 concert in Manchester, England. Then in September 2018, her ex-boyfriend, Mac Miller, the rapper, died from an accidental overdose. And then Grande called off her whirlwind engagement to Pete Davidson, who's a star on SNL. And then, so I guess like a fan tweeted at her saying, music is your therapy and I love seeing it heal you. But she revealed that her life was just not as sweet as it might seem, even though her albums are like sitting pretty, at the top of the charts. Like they are slaying it right now. And she's in basically what I guess if you were looking at her from like out the outside, you would be like, Ariana Grande has it all.
Living the life.
I mean, also, and this is no shade because I'm trying to be emotional for her, but she got $8 million, double that of Beyonce.
No, they found out it was basically the same, didn't they? That's like a rumor. It just came out.
Okay.
FYI.
Good.
No one's beating out your queen.
She didn't even deserve it, but no shade. Anyway.
She's also, by the way, you said that, like, she's also on tour, so I feel like she just brought her tour show to this. Versus,
that's all it was.
Yeah,
that's
creating a whole new show that Beyonce did, as we saw from, like, the Homecoming documentary.
Yeah. Well, She basically tweeted back at that fan that tweeted and said, making it is healing, but performing it is like reliving it all over again, and it is hell. She insisted that she's going to be continuing the tour despite the pain. She said, I just am sharing. It's hard, and I'm trying, and my soul is confused and tired, and I love you. She also added, I just feel empty. I want to have more to say, better energy to give you, and right now I don't have anything. Love you. And also last week, she shared some brain scans that basically she suggested kind of showed some PTSD damage. And then she's performing again this weekend at Coachella. So it's like the train isn't stopping. She's still on tour, but she's really going through a lot, which is very, very like sad, especially when she's in that position. She can't really do anything about it.
Yes. I mean, something's got to give because there are other people that are her peers. Selena Gomez, yeah. Obviously Demi Lovato, who went through having an overdose herself, or...
It was an overdose.
And they took time off. And the fact that she's not giving herself that is, and she's pushing through because maybe she doesn't want to deal with the pain of everything.
Yeah.
Like she had a little break after Mac Miller died. She was like, I'm taking a break.
Yeah.
Or Pete Davidson. But like when she says a break, it's like 2 weeks. It's like, or 1 week.
Yeah, it's not really what you would think someone would need to kind of get over the hurdles. And even then, I think it's going to, if she was to take a legitimate break, then it would probably be a year.
And
she's probably feeling like she doesn't have time for that, especially because she did release this new album and she has to promote it, and there's a business to it, and it sucks that, you know, I think she's trying to do all this for the fans, and she's trying to do it for the people that have really uplifted her, because I feel like everyone in the world really kind of came together as a community and just lifted her up to what we see now. And so I feel like maybe she feels like that's a something heavy on her shoulders. But I feel like I can kind of relate to that, where you just feel like you want to make sure everything is good for everyone else, and then you just like have a lot going on where you just like you forget about yourself.
Yeah, I think that, you know, her last album was the one that really brought her out and like to the top. And I think that she maybe, and this is us just making assumptions because we're not there, but maybe she feels like she needs to.
I think it's a relatable feeling.
Yeah, but like she needs, this is her second album now, and so it like. She needs to be a bit more established than to take that year off, maybe.
I don't know.
Or then you just get into that machine, and it is like you're feeding the machine.
And
like, it's not just fans, but the business of it. And I do think that if she was smart, and maybe if her team was smart, they would say, yo, after this world tour, take a break. But like, as an artist, you get inspired when you're in crazy mode, right? You want to go back in the studio. You have ideas. Like, she's even said that she's going to be producing music on the road. You're like, I can barely tweet when I'm traveling.
Well, I guess.
Let alone.
Like, I mean, but here's the thing. I think we think of it as like music is just like her clock in job. But I feel like it's a very emotional like diary for her. And she's been able to go in that and really kind of, you know, release a lot of her feelings. Not enough where she... I don't know. It feels like a double-edged sword, because it's like she loves what she does, and she needs what she does to kind of get through it. But she also needs to take time for her. But she probably feels like, well, if I'm not doing it, then what am I doing? And so I'm like, I get that. I understand that double-edged sword of like needing to take a break, but then also needing what you need to take a break from to like actually help you make it through life.
Yeah,
you know?
It's called, you need space from your like the day-to-day grind. And from even what you love doing sometimes to find yourself and figure out you outside of all this. Because when you're an artist, your identity is so wrapped in your art, but then you lose track of who you are beyond that. So I don't know. I get worried about burnout. I do get, you know, we all push ourselves, I think, in whatever industry we're in. When we are on a high or in a flow, we tend to go there to the extreme. And it's just when you are sharing PTSD damage and saying that I'm like freaking out on stage, I would be worried if I was her team or around her.
Oh, yeah. I mean, friends and teams as well. I mean, I would hope, like, you know, she has, like, you know, close friends and stuff. I would hope they're, like, kind of trying to help and just help her navigate tour life. Because I feel like with her and the status that she is, she can bring people that she really cares about on this tour to kind of keep her company and keep her mind, like, very relaxed when she's not off of it, when she's off of stage. So I don't know. Who knows? I just wish the best, and we're sending her tons and tons of love. But coming up, we have more pop culture entertainment stories that you may have missed. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss this. You're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan.
Okay, so it's time to get back into What's the Tea, which is our daily look into pop culture entertainment stories that you may have missed. Now, Charlize Theron, is it Theron or Theron?
Theron.
Theron, okay. Because, I mean, doesn't she have the, like, weird, not the weird accent, but
tomato,
like
tomato, tomato.
It's like, it's a South African accent. Is she, like, from New Zealand or something?
That's many different places you just messed up.
Yeah, she's South African.
Yeah, but not New Zealand.
Oh.
Those are
it's just in two different places. Oh,
it's all
okay.
good.
Well, I'm not a geographic
You're
person.
Not working for the Weather Channel.
No, okay. So basically, she revealed that her her eldest child, Jackson, is actually a girl. Now, I guess, okay, so when originally the world knew that she had a son, but apparently, I'm guessing that her son is now trans. Here's the story.
Okay.
When asked about Jackson's gender identity yesterday by the Daily Mail, Theron replied saying, yes, I thought she was a boy too, until she looked at me when she was 3 years old and said, I am not a boy.
Okay.
The actress said she has two beautiful daughters, and she said she hopes to see them both thrive. Now, the acclaimed actress continued, they were born who they are and exactly where in the world both of them get to find themselves as they grow up, and who they want to be is not for me to decide, which I love that. Now, Charlize is a long time LGBT like activist. She, you know, in 2009, she said she would not marry her then boyfriend, Stuart Townsend, until equal marriage was a reality across the U.S. In 2017, she played a bisexual spy in Atomic Blonde. That same year, she revealed in an interview with Andy Cohen that she has had like same-sex sexual experiences.
Hey, good for Charlize.
So she is living the life, and she's being a beautiful mother while doing it, which I'm so, and I mean, a supportive mom. Like, that's absolutely amazing.
Yep.
And so I'm very, very excited for that. And also coming up in kind of like our What's the Tea, which is super big, is of course our Lizzo interview. Lizzo is coming.
Who's, for people that don't know who Lizzo is?
Who? We're on a queer state. No, it's okay.
I'm just saying.
I get it. You gotta open it up for everyone.
Yes.
So Lizzo is this beautiful pop star plus body positivity like singer, like pop star, and she's just amazing. She's like taken over in this short span of a year, taking over pop music. And she was a flutist, plays a flute.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
She plays a flute. Have you? Oh, you haven't seen her perform or anything. Yeah. So when she performs, she's a trained, like
that's
flutist.
That's amazing.
And she twerks while playing the flute. It's absolutely incredible.
That's even better.
And she just shows her body off, and she's very, she just promotes confidence, and it's just beautiful. And so I'm super excited because that is actually coming up later in the next hour. So
we're going to ask her to play the flute while twerking while on the radio.
I hope she can. She's up for the challenge. I feel like she is. All she needs is like, if we can just take like a family shot together, she'll be like, yes, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm feeling it.
If you want to know more coming up in What's the Tea or any other pop culture entertainment stories, head over to WeirdChannelQ.com. And make sure to keep us favorite on the radio.com app.
Yep. So coming up top of the hour, we've got What's Trending in the News. Of course, we've got our interview with Lizzo. You're not going to want to miss it. So keep it right here on Channel Q. You're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on your radio and radio.com.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan.
All right. We have some awesome ways to celebrate Pride, don't we? You were so wrapped up in... All right, there was breaking news, and you're so wrapped
No. Let's keep us focused.
Beyonce.
Anyway, let's keep us focused. Do you want to win a trip to New York City to celebrate Pride Weekend, June 27th through the 30th? Channel Q and Shafra for great fruit and pomegranate will send you and a friend to one of the biggest Pride parties in the world. Now, we'll provide you with round-trip airfare, a four-night hotel stay, and New York City. So head over to WeAreChannelQ.com for your chance to win. And, of course, keep us listening to the new Channel Q for all of the deep details.
Okay, we've got What's Trending in the News right now. Top headlines, top of the hour. Okay, you just read something that I thought was interesting. Beyonce, Netflix.
I just read a headline. I don't know all the details.
All we need to know is Netflix, Beyonce, three projects, $60 million.
Yeah, Variety just announced that, and it basically revealed that Netflix has landed a three-project deal with Beyonce worth a whopping $60 million. And okay. Homecoming was the first one that they just released.
Ooh.
So there's two more coming.
So you're excited, I'm sure.
Of course.
Okay, let's get into some more news happening, not in the pop culture arena. This is really interesting. Dozens of same-sex couples kissed simultaneously outside an upscale shopping mall in Colombia's capital Wednesday this week. And Vanessa is from Colombia, our producer. And it was in the it was the latest demonstration calling for LGBT rights in the South American country. It was a kiss-a-thon, and it was held just days after two gay men in their early 20s were unfortunately harassed at the local shopping center by a man who pushed the couple, screamed profanities at them, and accused them of fondling each other in front of a group of children.
Oh, whoa, that's
yeah,
gross.
It's horrible. So on Wednesday night, because of that, hundreds of activists waving rainbow flags gathered around one of the mall's entrances and screamed chants and support of gay rights. So hopefully that will make a change in Colombia, because change needs to be had. Senator Mitt Romney said that while it's good news there was insufficient evidence to charge President Trump with conspiracy or obstruction, he was dismayed by the pervasiveness of dishonesty and misdirection by Trump and those around him. Now, this is a big deal because it's obviously someone, you know, on the right coming out to say, okay, well, no collusion.
Yes.
This is still wrong and sketchy and something needs to be looked at. And this is a statement that he made actually today. So it's trending right now on social media. He says, you know, the alternative would have taken us through a wrenching process with the potential for constitutional crisis. The business of government can move on. Even so, I'm sickened at the extent and pervasiveness of dishonesty and misdirection by individuals in the highest office of the land, including the president. I'm also appalled that, among other things, fellow citizens working in a campaign for president welcomed help from Russia, including information that had been illegally obtained, that none of them acted to inform American law enforcement, and that the campaign chairman was actively promoting Russian interests in Ukraine.
Well, all I'm saying is he needs to put his money where his mouth is, and if he's going to talk about it, be about it, and go up against Trump in the 2020 elections. If you don't, if you're so unhappy, go up against him.
Exactly.
Do what you got
to
do.
He's like, you know, one of the first Republicans to come out to say these things, so perhaps we'll see more next week. And we actually have more news around Trump, possible impeachment, and Elizabeth Warren that's coming up in What's Trending in the News, top of the hour, in the next hour. So stay tuned for that. Some juicy news. But this week, a lot of new music was released, and today, though, we're celebrating someone very special.
Yes!
Lizzo, who is an amazing artist, all about, as you mentioned, body positivity. She's plus size. It's her third album. It's out right now. It's called 'Cause I Love You. She's also from Minnesota. I don't know if we have any Minnesota folks listening, but hey. And prior to the album's release, she shared the title track with Missy Elliott. Isn't it? It's crazy. It's called Tempo. She's got Juice. She's got some music videos out right now.
Yeah, she's absolutely incredible, and I cannot wait that she's about to walk into the studio and we're about to have this full-on interview.
Yes.
And just for her to dive in to talk to us kind of about the album and just her journey. I mean, honestly, I've looked up to her for a very, very long time since I've, you know, really started to listen to her. So I'm just like, honestly, girl, bring it on. I cannot wait any longer.
Have you seen her on RuPaul's Drag Race?
Of course I have.
And is she awesome?
She's amazing. Yeah. She's really good.
All right. Well, that interview, Lizzo, right here on Let's Go There, is coming up in 6 minutes. We're speaking to her about her new album. She talks about emotions and crying and booty shaking. So stay tuned for that. You're not going to want to miss it. You're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan.
Okay, the time is here.
Guys, we have the amazing opportunity to speak to the one, the only, Lizzo.
Queen right here.
Yeah, honestly, I'm shook. I never thought in a million years that I would be like in the same vicinity or breathing the same air.
A million years?
In a million years.
That's a whole rock.
Girl, like literally as my Thickums queen, like you are everything to me.
Thank you.
Like I'm being so serious. I mean, one, you slayed Coachella.
Yep.
Oh, thank you.
No, I'm being serious. Like Ashcella was taking over everything.
Ashcella was out here.
That was a hashtag you started?
I did.
What the hell? How did that happen?
I don't know. When we first got to Coachella, I had a little thong on. We got in the pool real quick. And
right.
I had a slow motion video on my ass.
Can I see it?
I don't got my phone. It's on Instagram. It's everywhere. Okay, 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 I posted it.
No, no, I just want to make sure.
Y'all know I'll be posting there.
I wanted like an uncensored version. You
wanted to make sure it wasn't real.
The non-Instagram version.
That's the uncensored version.
Wait, so you
post... Girls Gone Wild.
You post this picture.
It's a video of my ass in slow motion in the water. And I was like, oh, I guess Ass-Chella has begun. Period.
And then it went.
And I just kept, I don't even know if it caught on with other people, but I just kept posting it. I kept posting pictures of my ass and saying Ass-Chella. Then when I'm performing, my butt just kept poking through and all these epic photos of my butt were on the internet. And somebody was like, is this real or is this like a sculpture?
It was a sculpture.
I was like, yes.
It was honestly the sculpture that I hope they recreate for next year.
It needs to be in the Sistine Chapel.
Like, this is like, it should be an art installation.
Put it in the Louvre.
Like, do it.
Like how this year they had the Beachella pyramid.
Right.
It's just going to be my ass. My peach ass.
Were you always this confident showing your butt?
No, I didn't like my butt.
Oh, really?
I thought my butt was so ugly, and I thought it was lumpy and long and stupid.
I feel the same way.
And I thought that my butt would never, ever be a bad bitch. My butt is a bad bitch now. Yes. And I didn't even have to do nothing. I didn't do nothing but just like it.
The wonderful thing about you is, like, you've been actually so kind of vocal about your own, like, kind of states of depression and mental health. I guess, why was it so important for you to just really kind of be authentic, and how has that helped your journey to now?
Well, because I didn't want to be fake. I don't want to be non-authentic. That shit sounds terrible.
Girl, but there's plenty of people that do it. No shade. Hi.
Yeah, and it's hard. Like,
how you doing?
We're here for all of you. But how do you get there? How do you go from, like, looking at yourself and saying, I'm not sure I like what I see or what I hear, and then saying, no, this is me. I'm awesome.
I don't know. I think it's like a process. I think it's not easy. It's not fun. You scare a lot of people off. You scare yourself off.
Yeah.
And then you just got to keep going until you're happy with who that person is. And then everyone will be happy with that person.
And that's been a big part of success.
I mean, so wait, let's talk about that amazing cover story that you, the conversation that you had with Janelle Monáe for them.
Oh my God.
What was one thing that I felt like you kind of learned from that experience and just her in general?
Janelle is, to me, like, so perfect. Not just even how she looks, but just like the way that her music and her story is curated and her mind, you know, even like when we twerking in the hot tub, I'm like, wow, she's so perfect, you know?
Yeah.
So it was surprising to me to hear that she was afraid before this last album, before Dirty Computer. I was surprised to find out that she had come out to her family late.
Yeah.
Later in life. I thought that she had always, you know, just been who she was, but just did a really good job of keeping it
out of
out of the limelight.
Yeah.
And nah, that wasn't the case. So I think that was really cool, and it was it made me feel closer to her in lots of ways.
Had you ever related to kind of that pressure, especially being in this like digital age of social media, and then you put everything out there and people have opinions. They don't really matter. But
they're like
period. So how do you navigate that?
I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Well, some things do get to me and it hurts my feelings. I've had a few things actually bother me, but when things actually bother me, I'm vocal about it. I'm honest about it. Then again, there's people who their social media is everything.
Yeah.
Like, their social media is their income. That's their lifeblood.
That's
their connection to the world, and they need that connection. Mine is kind of the opposite. Like, social media is something that I do for fun, something that I do to connect with my fans in a different way. And I've always been kind of silly and funny and putting myself out there on my Instagram back when I had 5,000 followers, you know what I'm saying, to now. So I've never really needed social media. So I think that's another reason why it's not that I don't
serious.
Take it so personal.
You're not attached to it. Yeah.
But I realize that's, you know, my own personal thing. There's people who literally pay their bills from that. So they have to take it seriously.
Yeah.
But I can't relate.
And you also said you're not into technology.
Technology's not into me. So I have like a really, I'm dead ass serious.
What does that
Ever
mean?
Ever since I was little, I would break watches. Like, okay. I can't. Like, and so my cell phones don't quite work properly. Technology just doesn't really work for me. I think it's the electricity in my melanin.
It's a psychic thing.
We have electricity in our melanin.
Come through. So, okay. So, Cause I Love You is coming out today.
Let's talk about your album. Why are you here?
I want to talk about that.
I'm actually an X-Men.
Look, I am,
What's it like being a superhero?
I want to be Mystique. I would be Mystique.
You are Mystique.
Oh,
let's talk about...
You're going to tell me twice. No, but seriously.
Let's talk about this album and how it's different than your previous album.
They always going to be a little different this time. got real.
What is your favorite track on that album?
Ooh, it's so hard to choose. All the songs are the best songs.
Because first
ever.
Of all, Jerome, that track I can't wait to hear because that sounds like a prison man that I just want to sleep with. No, seriously, Jerome just sounds like a
you
prison.
You might have already.
Girl, you know I, that's my type.
No one hits that.
That's my type. I love a buff one.
Jerome, that's not my favorite, even though I love performing that one. Mm-hmm. My favorite is one that's not out yet. Actually, Cause I Love You is actually one of my favorites that I've ever written in my life. And then I also love the song called Soulmate that's not out yet, but I did it at Coachella. And it was the one where we did the New Orleans bounce. And then we had a little shoulder shimmy. We went off. So that's my favorite song. But y'all gonna find out about that because you're gonna stream my album.
We're gonna be playing all the music. What's your creative process like since these songs are very personal?
I draw. Like, okay, so let me just say, let me not use like the poetic term.
Yeah.
Just be real. Yeah.
I go in the studio. If I'm upset about something, I just talk. Anybody who works with me in the studio, I don't come in and say, okay, so I was writing this. I was working on this earlier this morning. Yeah. It's not like that. I'm not like, okay, let's just put on a reference track. Like, I come in and we talk about food for like 2.5 hours.
Wow, and can then, I please be invited?
And then we
that
order
sounds like
food.
A dream.
We order the food.
Okay.
We eat the food.
Okay.
And then once the food is digested, we start working on the music. And by then they know so much about me and I've told so many stories about my day that the song kind of comes naturally. There's a lot of songs on this album that happened because I was crying or because I was upset or because like I was pissed off at somebody and I needed to talk about it. There are songs on the album that I wrote because it was the person who I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. I wrote Soulmate and I was really depressed and I was really lonely and I was like, man, I want to write a song about the bitch I'm trying to be. Mm. So I wrote Soulmate.
Wow.
You know? That's kind of my creative process. It's very conversational. It's very personal and it happened literally in the Truth Hurts. Woo! I wrote that song. I walked in the studio and I was crying. And you know what? I just started crying. This is like, crying just came out for me.
Really? You just found out you
had
tear
ducts? Just came out in theaters, honey.
That's cute. I love that.
Really?
I was like, oh, where did these come from?
Yeah.
But I just started crying. So I've been using it a lot lately. It's very nice. Emotional release. Try it sometimes.
Yeah.
But I walked in the studio. I was crying. It was like, what's wrong? I started just telling all this shit. I said, so-and-so did this and did that. And you know, I hope he happy with that bitch. How you gonna try to hide me? You know what I'm saying? I had to go see my friend, Mari, so she could wash him out of my hair. And then I got a Minnesota Viking in my DMs. Like, I was just talking, and then the producer was just
writing
it down.
Wow.
And he's like, this is what you just said.
Yeah.
You just said this. And I was like, Truth Hurts? And he was like, damn.
Oh, my God.
And that's the song. Like, so that's how these songs be happening.
So to wrap this up, because I know you are booked busy.
Why you want
to
leave?
I don't want to, but I just know you got other things to do.
You're
can stay
told.
Here for the rest of my life.
Okay.
What is one thing that you want your fans and everyone to know from this album? What's the message that you want them to take away from this?
That you can love yourself in a world that doesn't love you back.
Wow. And mic drop. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Check it out on tour. It's already sold out, but if you can get tickets, get those tickets now. Lizzo, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you.
Love you.
Bye, bitch.
Oh, my God. She's amazing. And now here's Lizzo's new song, Juice, from her album, Cause I Love You, right here on the new Channel Q.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan.
Okay, everyone. Are you excited for tomorrow? You know what day it is.
No, what day is it?
420.
Oh, it's like a holiday for
me. It's the weed day. Cannabis day.
No, it's just like a holiday because we're in California and everyone, I feel like that's a day where everyone just is so happy and chill.
You know.
Because it's legalized here.
It's true.
But unfortunately, and it's legal, not everywhere else.
We're not going to say. Exactly. So we're going to be getting into a discussion here, though, that's probably a bit different than most of your discussions. About cannabis. So, because we always go there on the show, right?
Yes.
So, as you mentioned, more than ever in our society, people are welcoming cannabis, right? Mm-hmm. Their CBD, of course, medically is huge and legalized in more cities and states across the country. And just like anything, when there's a boom in an industry, more money is going to be invested into that.
Right.
And many people profiting from it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because there's no, I think the stigma when it comes to cannabis and that industry is kind of really going away in some ways. But I think that brings up a lot more conversations, especially from past situations when it deals with like racism and people of color and how that's really affected a lot of people of color because a lot of them are in jail for things that are now legalized. And I mean, people are boasting about the selling of like cannabis and things like that. And so
it's just, it's a very interesting conversation that needs to be kind of had.
Yeah, the issue is, and we're not just saying this just out of our opinions, there are statistics. And
oh,
if
for
someone
sure.
joining us on the show that will talk more about this, but you know, white people, specifically men, are dominating the industry because they're putting in money to profit from it. Meanwhile, people of color, as you mentioned, they're dealing with the systemic repercussions of the criminalization of cannabis over the years. So that's, you know, the setup. We wanted to just share, like, you know, what we're talking about because it's a really important topic. We have an amazing guest. I am so excited for who's joining us. Christine De La Rosa. She's the co-founder and CEO of the People's Dispensary, and they're tackling this issue right now. Christine, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So tell people what the People's Dispensary is.
Well, the People's Dispensary is, at its core, a dispensary. We sell weed. But we also are very much around, believe in social justice and social equality.
Yeah.
So we have a social framework in which we build the company on, which includes financial inclusion, workforce development, and community reinvestment.
And the, some of the things we were talking about earlier, I mean, you've actually, I've spoken to you before and you told me about this. Tell us about the statistics around this and how it's impacting community, marginalized communities and people of color.
Well, as you know, most of the people that are incarcerated for cannabis offenses or have had cannabis charges put against them are mostly black and brown people. For instance, in the state of New York, 86% of cannabis offenses and charges were done to black and brown people over the course of the last 5 years. Historically, the people that go to prison or that are charged with cannabis offenses are not white folks, but they're actually people of color, and even though they consume at about the same rate.
So what's very interesting about kind of what your business is, the People's Dispensary, and there's, you know, just kind of in the if I'm thinking about it, because I am a person, a queer person of color, you know, estimates of kind of people of color businesses, like ownerships in the cannabis industry, just range from a ownership of like 1-2%. And that can even go up to kind of like a 19% at some times. But, you know, I think even we talk about the stigma when it comes to, I guess, a bigger picture of everyone even intersecting into people of color. Like cultures, there's still that stigma about cannabis or just any type of drug use when it comes to like, oh, well, I don't want to really be involved in that because of people have, it has been such criminalized and there is a stigma that's been built on that. But now that there's been such a change where the stigma's going away, do you feel like more people of color are going to get into this industry? Or do you think they're too afraid of it because of the repercussions that have happened from the past?
Well, let me just clarify one thing. People say that it's been stigmatized, but actually what it's been done is propaganda. So we, as people of color who have used this medicine for centuries as a healing property, were our parents and our parents before them were really targeted with the war on drugs, say no to drugs. And so it's actually not a stigma. It's something that another culture and group of people made us feel ashamed about, which is actually was a cultural thing for us. I believe that the industry comes out of black and brown communities. So absolutely, we're fighting to make sure that black and brown people are a part of this industry from day one. And that's all types of marginalized communities, not just black and brown people, but also LGBTQ. Like, we are 100% LGBTQ owned, 75% women of color owned. So we are trying to stake a claim because it cannot be just these huge companies with white guys in ties mm-hmm. that are benefiting for this now that it's legal, while they have spent the last 30 years putting us in jail, destroying our communities, taking fathers and children from mothers and wives. We can't let that happen.
Yeah.
Christine De La Rosa again joining us, co-founder and CEO of the People's Dispensary. So tell people how you're actually taking on, you know, the issues that we're talking about, because you do it in a really interesting way with the model of the company.
Sure. So one of the things that we allow people to do is to invest in the dispensaries in their cities. The people that are making a lot of money in cannabis or are planning to make a lot of money in cannabis over the next few years that becomes federally decriminalized are these large corporations run by white guys in ties. And we didn't have a way until now to make sure that our community, people of color, would be able to invest in the cannabis companies so that they too could profit and create some generational wealth for themselves. So we're able to do that through REG CF, which is a crowdfunding type of thing, but for cannabis. And then the other thing is we don't have access to capital. So you can have the best grower, the best manufacturer, and people of color, and they get 1% of the funding every year. Can you understand? Like, billions of dollars for cannabis, and we're getting 1% of that funding.
Yeah.
So now we're really talking about how do we get, we grow our own wealth so that we can invest in our own people. And that's what the Community Reinvestment Fund is. It's us giving 10% of our net profit into that Community Reinvestment Fund so that people of color, formerly incarcerated, veterans can come to us and say, I have this really big idea and I need some funding, and that we would have the funding to invest in our own people.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's pretty intense. It's kind of incredible.
And I want to continue this conversation, of course, because in Pennsylvania, prior cannabis conventions, convictions prevent people from joining the medical cannabis workforce. And I want to know if it, especially when I want to just dive into that and kind of especially what is the other side of that, especially when people do want to come back out from having wrong, being wrongfully kind of convicted now. What does that look like for them? What's the future look? So we're going to continue this conversation. You're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan.
So 420 is tomorrow, just in case you missed it. And we're continuing our discussion about the cannabis industry and empowering marginalized communities and people in color, and how some individuals and companies are doing this. Christine De La Rosa, CEO and co-founder of the People's Dispensary, is back with us. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
All right, so Christine, let's get into, do you guys offer any programs, or do you know of, I guess, people that were previously incarcerated, and if they are interested in kind of, now that everything is legalized and they, there's a way of doing it that is legal, how do they get back into the cannabis industry?
Well, I want to, first of all, just say one thing. Actually, cannabis is not legalized. Legalized means that everybody can do everything and you're never going to go to jail.
Yeah,
it's
It's
regulated.
Regulated.
So it's regulated.
Okay, good to know.
So basically what they've done, so basically what they've done is, like, if you're a person of color, you're mostly smoking weed wrong, right? You're not allowed to do it in certain housing. You can't do it in the streets.
Yeah.
So there's other ways in which to keep incarcerating you. So I say, before we say legalized, we say regulated. So that's the very first thing. The second thing is that if you are formerly incarcerated and you live in a state that doesn't allow you to work in the industry, we need to change that in your state, because that really is another way to keep people who have really had the brunt of the incarceration not being able to make money that everybody else is making money on. This is absolutely 100% unfair, should not stand. We should not put up with it.
Yeah.
But if you are in a state that does allow for formerly incarcerated people to participate in the industry, one of the things that we do is we are very cognizant of being able to hire people that are formerly incarcerated, make sure that we can get them through some workforce development, make sure that we can talk to them about bud tending, like how do you do different things. Like, we have programs, even before you get hired to work for us, we have like 11 units that you have to go through to learn about it. And so you want to look for companies that are really reaching out to your particular, whether it's people of color, LGBT people, formerly incarcerated people, really reaching out to you to have you be part of the industry. Because when this is federally deregulated, they're estimating 1 million jobs will be created. Mm. That's just in the plant touching.
Wow.
There are literally 80 other industries that support a dispensary. We have to have an HVAC system. We have to have people who do glass blowing for the bongs. You have to have people who do, you know,
there's a lot.
There's a lot. So you don't want to miss out. Don't only focus on, I need to work for somebody that's plant touching, but also see all of the other different kinds of jobs that are going to be created that will support that, like security, like all those other things. And so I will tell you, just look for people like us. And there are a lot of us. Like, there's a lot of dispensaries. Not all dispensaries are open to really bringing in people that have suffered from the war on drugs, but we are. We're specifically built to do that, because it was our people that were put in jails, and some of them didn't make it out, right? Because jail is really hard. And so I think that the People's Dispensary really came from an anger, and also from wanting to make sure that we were not extractive, that we were trying to be inclusive of the communities that have suffered, because there's no way any of us should be making money and not thinking about all the people that sacrificed so we can be making money today.
Definitely. Ooh, Christina, you are dropping knowledge today. I am learning so a lot. I feel like I'm watching like a special on like PBS or NPR or something. You are just schooling me. I live for it. It's great.
Yeah, and Christine, you also experienced your own, your own discrimination. You said you used to go to dispensaries and just feel like not included or not seen in a way, and that's why that inspired this as well, right?
Yeah, it's just a lot of places are transactional, right? They're like, get in, get your weed, and get out. And we didn't want to be that way because I have lupus, and so I wanted to be able to talk to a bud tender. I wanted to be able to understand the different types of flowers, different kinds of strains, what would help with inflammation, what would help with different things. And they just wanted to sell you something and get you out.
Yeah.
I think that that's really what put us in, because we don't do that. We really try to talk with our customers and really find out, like, what are you using it for? Cause some people will come and be like, oh, I just want to party tonight. But then when you really talk to them, they're like, I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling this way. And so just having, there's always an underlying thing. And so I always say, cannabis is amazing, not only so that you can have fun in a social situation, but it's dual because you can also be treating something that is an underlying issue, like PTSD, like inflammation. And so really to look at it more holistically and more as a complete thing than just, I just need something to go out to the club tonight.
Yeah.
And when you talk to people that way, they're really about it because, like, you're getting a double whammy, like two for one. How cool is that, you know? If you have a bartender that's knowledgeable and can help you pick the right kind of cannabis product for
definitely
yourself.
Well, happy 420 tomorrow. We hope you're
thank
doing
you
something special. Christine,
oh my God.
Yeah, we don't have enough time to hear all your plans necessarily right now.
No, I will say it's a lot.
Yeah, but we appreciate your time. Christine De La Rosa, check out People's Dispensary. She's the CEO and co-founder. It's a really interesting model for dispensary. And you're in Berkeley, but I'm sure you
oh,
could.
Oh, no, we're in
San
Oakland.
Francisco. Oakland. Oh, no, yeah, I knew somewhere around there.
Oakland and Portland. So we have double things going on.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. We're hopefully more expansion in the future. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Wow. Look at that.
I mean, it was honestly such an educational moment. I think for her to be doing and her being so passionate about this is just what makes it the cherry on top. And I'm so happy that we got to give her this platform to talk about the People's Dispensary because
definitely
it's needed.
So Let's Go There is all about. Well, we've got What's Trending in the News headlines top of the hour right after this. So stay tuned for that. You're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan.
We are getting into What's Trending in the News right now. Top of the hour. All right. This is a big one. U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren is calling for the impeachment of Donald Trump. I mean, a lot of people have asked for the impeachment and they're debating it, but she's like really the first of the declared presidential hopefuls to do so. She made the call through Twitter today in response to special counsel Robert Mueller's report released yesterday, saying this: Mueller put the next step in the hands of Congress. Congress has authority to prohibit a president's corrupt use of his authority in order to protect the integrity of the administration of justice. The correct process for exercising that authority is impeachment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she continued saying, you know, to ignore president's repeated efforts to obstruct an investigation into his own disloyal behavior would inflict great and lasting damage on this country, and it would suggest that both the current and future presidents would be free to abuse their power in similar ways. And she goes on to talk about the severity of his misconduct, and it means the House should initiate impeachment proceedings against the president of the United States.
I totally agree.
So this happened this afternoon, so I'm sure we'll see over the weekend and going into the week next week, you know, what will actually happen, what action will be taken, and other people's responses around that one. It's a big one.
I mean, yeah, I think I always, you know, I have my little jokes about Elizabeth Warren, but I think she's right here. And I think, honestly, she's making a big move. And I think that also
ballsy,
kind of, it also kind of benefits her as well in coming up in this 2020 elections that she's willing to do what needs to be done. So I like this, and I think she's right. Mueller did put this next step in the hands of Congress, so we got to see what's going to happen because the behavior that Donald Trump that was explained in that report is just out of control. And it's nowhere near presidential.
Definitely. Next up, a Honduran transgender woman, Nicole Garcia Aguilla, has been released from solitary confinement in a men's immigration unit. 6 months, she was granted asylum by a federal judge. 3 of those months were spent in solitary confinement, as we said. This is like a really sad, horrible story. And it's an ordeal which caused her to lose 1/3 of her body weight. That's according to the American Civil Liberties Union. Aguiar was freed on Wednesday this week, 6 days after a petition for her release was filed by the ACLU. And following her release, ACLU lawyer Kristen Love said, "We have forced ICE to review what it was doing to one person. But this is an out-of-control agency that refuses to follow the law unless sued. That's not how governments should operate."
Wow.
And that's just one story. I'm sure there's others out there.
Most definitely tons of others, especially trans women are already not held up to the same standards as just people in general. And it's so unfortunate. And Oh my God, that just touched my heart so much. That fact that she's going, like she even went through all of that.
Oh, yeah, solitary confinement and being in a men's unit yeah. when she's a woman.
And you know, but here's the thing. You just also don't know the abuse that she got yeah. from the people, like you know the security or whatever
Everyone.
The guards yeah. you know in that, and so there's a lot there, and oh my God, that's just very sad.
Well, finally, TSA scanners disproportionately flag black travelers because the machines can't read certain hairstyles. That's according to a report from ProPublica. TSA body scan machines can't read certain hair types, like you know, everything from afros to braids, twists, locks, ponytails, buns, often leading, and this is according to them, to a higher rate of hair pat-downs for black women. A government report in 2014 found that the machines also had a higher false alarm rate when passengers wore turbans and wigs. So I'm not actually surprised about this.
Oh, me either, honestly.
But, I, you know, with a report like this out right now, something possibly should be done, or at yeah. least there should be an awareness that that happens.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you feel like when you go through
nope,
security
never
anything?
To me.
All right.
Luckily, it never happened. I may have to take my hat off, but my hair is not as big, but it is. I mean, it's big, but luckily that never happens.
Do you get lots of pat downs?
I mean, I wish, but I think not I get in that way.
So I always have jewelry on, they pat me down. Anyway, that was what's trending in the news, top of the hour. Now let's get into our cue of the day, our question of the day. What's the worst experience you've had in an Uber or Lyft? We don't just bring this up for no reason.
Triggered.
There's a lot of triggers here. There was actually an interesting Quora post about etiquette. We're going to get into that in a moment. Just, you know, the Uber Lyft etiquette that people yes. should be following. So it just brought up this question. And so many people have so many amazing stories. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-77-CALL-Q. That's 833-722-2557. So have you had any bad experiences?
Oh, I mean, of course. Are you like, okay, Uber and Lyft, I mean, I don't want to like crap on them because I do use them.
Oh,
I
yeah.
don't really use Uber as often as I do use Lyft because Uber tends to, you know, they had some problematic management yeah. like CEOs, and they were in the news for a lot of problematic things. But even then, like Lyft drivers and just Uber drivers, I have, I mean, just near-death experiences.
Really?
So we got to talk about it because I don't want to go into the story now. I want to kind of tease it.
Kind of freaking out.
You should be freaking out as long as I'm here and alive.
Unlike you, I feel like I've had pretty decent experiences. I just go in the Uber and I pretty much stay quiet a lot of the time.
Oh, same. I hate it when people talk to me.
Yeah. But then you know you have those people that talk and you're like, what if they just need to talk? And then
that's
I'm that one person.
That's
like,
not meant for me.
I think I start thinking of like a compassionate, I'm trying yeah. to be compassionate as a person. Maybe by talking to them, I could save someone's life.
Well, I'm going to tell you guys when we come back how I almost lost my life.
Yikes.
In an Uber.
All right. You're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan.
So what's the worst experience you've had in an Uber or Lyft? We want to hear from you. It's our question of the day. Give us a call right now. 833-77-CALL-Q. That's 833-772-2557. And Ryan, you are teasing a really crazy story.
I mean, I've had some traumatic Uber experiences. I feel like, honestly, I am just cursed when it comes to Ubers. Mm. Because every single time, and specifically this one time, I remember I was going somewhere with some friends, but I was meeting them there, and I was getting into the Uber. Well, I was trying to call one, and there was one coming. I was waiting. I was like, okay, 3 minutes. It's coming in 3 minutes. Well, then he cancels as soon as he pulls up. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not downstairs yet, so okay, I'll just order another one. So
that's
I had
the worst, by the way.
Oh, it's the worst. So I had to wait another 5 or 6 minutes for the next one
How
to come.
How dare them.
And this one comes in like a bat out of hell. I'm downstairs at this point, and he's like swerving, and I'm like, should I do this? Mm. Should I really, really get into this car? And I'm not going to lie to you, he was a little attractive, so I was like, yes, I will do this. And so, because honestly, priorities. So I get into the Uber and, you know, it's kind of going smooth. He's like, oh, this is Ryan, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'm like, hi. And he doesn't really talk. My favorite type of person. Mm. Don't speak to me while you're driving. Just focus. But as soon as we pull off on my street, which is like a 15 mile per hour street, he's at a good 45 miles per hour. And then he like turns the corner and it feels like he's on two wheels. Like, honestly, I'm like, I was sitting on the right side. I moved from the right side to the left side. And I just felt like, okay, well, hi. I mean, I told him, I was like, you know, I'm not rushing or anything. We can go smoothly. He was like, no, it's good. Everything's good. He was like, okay. And I was like, all right, well, then I'm just going to pray right now because he's still now going 45 to 55. He's like, he's getting far. And we're taking the streetway. We're not on any type of highway, by the way.
Okay.
And so I'm like, okay, well, I thought this was going to be a 30-minute drive. This ends up being like a 15-minute drive.
So he saved you money.
Yeah, he saved me money, but then also it doesn't work when you're like almost getting in car accidents and you're having to hit the brakes super hard.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, oh, so what do you do? Like, what would I have done if we would have gotten into a car accident? Like, whose insurance? Like, do I get help
on?
Is the Uber situation?
We know a lot of Uber Lyft drivers actually listen to our station because I've gotten in some Ubers in LA.
Okay.
And so if you're listening,
I would love to
hear from you. We want to hear, like, you know, what crazy things happen in your car and how do you deal with it? And like, yeah, who pays for it if you get into an accident?
Yeah.
I'm assuming they pay. It's their insurance. It's like you wouldn't pay if a taxi got into an accident.
Oh, for sure. I mean, but here's the thing that I guess, yeah, even if I was hurt, so I guess who's like insurance would you? Like, I don't know how I would have.
It's theirs, I assume.
Is it theirs?
We want to know.
It was a traumatic experience. That's why I've never gotten into an Uber ever again.
Give us a call if you're an Uber or Lyft driver. We want to hear from you. 833-77-CALL-Q. 833-772-2557. Remember when I was picking you up once and you came in and I was having a deep conversation with the Uber? We were heading downtown. Ryan's like, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah, because she was like, at this point, it doesn't really take Shira. I mean, it does take Shira a little minute to get from her place to my place. But honestly, I felt like Shira knew his middle name, his second cousins, his social security number. That also that he wanted to have a life change. And he was
rehab.
Yeah, it was like I was like, what? How did this happen? Like, how did you go from like, oh yeah, this is my ride, to I'm now your godmother of your children?
Like, I feel like I end up in all the cars with soul searching Ubers and Lyft drivers, like people that are going through transitions and midlife crisis.
Well, let's get into some social media questions, some answers. Daniel said, the time my friend puked in the Uber driver's new car, I had to clean it to avoid a cleaning charge. They charged me. Then they still charged me, and I had my friend's puke on my hand for no reason.
Gross.
That is the worst.
I've puked in an Uber before. Have you?
No, always hold it.
It's the best. I was just...
No, it's not the best. No, it's the best. I vomited all over the person's car.
I just started dating my ex.
What is your Uber rating? Like a two?
No, this was on his Uber rating, which it was on my ex's Uber rating. So it was the beginning when we started dating. I got, you know, at the beginning of your dating, you're always getting drunk, right?
Yeah,
me? It's like black.
It's most definitely just
yes.
You.
So I got blackout drunk, basically. But then I remember this moment, and I basically I was feeling nauseous, and then I put my hand over my mouth and just went on the side.
Oh, anyway, like in a little cup holder on the door?
Trying not to show anyone or tell anyone.
That is embarrassing.
So the next day, he goes, oh, I just got a bill.
Yeah.
Or like 2 days later. I go, what do you mean? Supposedly you puked in the car? You didn't realize it? And so my secret got revealed.
Oh, my God. I mean, we actually have a caller.
Right.
Who's on the line? Thanks for calling Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan. Hi.
Hi. How's it going?
Good.
What's your name? Where are you from?
Yeah, where are you from?
My name is Adam, and I'm calling from Palm Springs.
Yes, Palm Springs.
Hi, Palm
Busy
Springs.
Busy this weekend, Coachella weekend too.
Okay, so what is your craziest Uber or Lyft experience? Yes.
Well, basically, I was actually in LA, and I'm a chef, and I'm an executive chef, and I was doing a catering event for this women's group, and all of a sudden, I got an email saying that the number of people that were going to attend went down to like. Three went down, like stopped, like it was like 18, and then it went down to like 15.
Okay.
And when I got there, I found out why, and the Uber driver actually had an accident with three of the girls.
Oh no!
In her car.
Oh.
And so
I think the most important question is: was the food okay?
The food was excellent, by the way.
I mean, and you sound like you could cook, too. I'm trying to find me a man. Look at him.
I'm always impressed by our listeners. They're writers, PhD, executive chefs.
I mean, that's high. I mean, maybe we can find me on social media.
So that sucks. So what ended up happening? It worked out.
So what ended up happening was I got the 411 on it, and so what ended up happening, like, Uber totally took care of all the expenses for everything.
Oh, wow.
So wait, the dinner?
Yeah, no, for so the car crash.
They do totally take care of it all.
There you go.
That's good to know. Well, thank you so much for giving us a call. Now, somebody else is on the line. Thanks for calling Let's Go There with Sheer and Ryan. What's up? What's your name? Where are you from?
I go by the name of Diesel, and I'm from Chicago, and I'm an Uber driver.
Oh, all right.
We got an Uber driver.
Tell us from your perspective what goes down. Like, what's been your craziest experience?
Okay, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm actually a rookie. I'm on my second week right now.
Congrats.
I'm out driving right now. And, it's pretty cool. It's great money, honestly. And it works perfect with me in my other career. My main job is I'm a union painter by trade, so I can't have another job where I am, like, you know, I have to be there a certain hours.
Okay.
So to turn the app off and on is perfect.
So since you're a rookie, have you had any crazy people in your car?
Yes. Recently, I had a, I don't know if he was gay or bisexual, but the whole time he was in my car, he hopped in the front seat when the whole back seat was open and ready for him.
Oh,
and
God.
The whole time he was up in the front seat rubbing his leg and stuff, and we had like a basic conversation. And so we got near his house, and he was like, "Do I like what I see?" And I said, "Huh?"
Are you kidding me? Diesel must be fine.
He was me too.
And I was like, what do you mean? I was playing dumb because I didn't want to be rude. I'm trying to get my 5 stars. But he gave me 4 stars.
Exactly.
Well, Diesel, I really respect that you kept it professional.
Yes.
You stood your ground. And, you know, being an Uber driver can be very hard. I've heard stories like that where the Uber drivers get hit on.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, that one, take it as a compliment because that must mean you're attractive. Two, stop driving for Uber.
Hey. Stop. It's good money, though. I'm trying to get that new X7.
Okay. X7. Do what you got to do,
Diesel.
Diesel
got money. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, thank you for calling.
Yes.
Keep listening.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. that was interesting.
Hi, Diesel. I don't want to be the Uber driver. I don't want to be the Uber person that was, like, hitting on Diesel, but Diesel. Oh, my God. If you guys have any more responses to your crazy Uber or Lyft experiences, hit us up at where can they call us?
833-77-CALL-Q, 833-772-2557. We love to hear from you. You guys have great stories.
Keep them coming.
Keep them coming. And then after the break, we're actually going to share the etiquette suggestions for higher ratings.
Okay, I like that. Let's
so,
do it.
That's something to look forward to. You're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan.
We are getting so many good responses for our Q of the Day that we just got to continue some of it.
Oh, we sure
do. Our question is, what's the worst experience you've had in an Uber or Lyft? This could be from the driver's perspective or the rider. And we actually have a lot of drivers that listen to us. Just saying. So you can give us a call right now, 833-77-CALL-Q. That's 833-772-2557. We want to hear from you.
All right. So Nicole on social media said, okay, so she actually gave two examples, one from Lyft and one from Uber. So she said, Lyft, the dude accepted my ride and was so late, then told me he stopped to use the bathroom. And the car smelled.
Oh.
That is disgusting. Also, she said her Uber thought I was being kidnapped because he took a very complicated route to what should have been a very straightforward 15-minute drive, or less than 15-minute drive. I was ready to fight for my life.
Oh, no.
No, because here's the thing. I get very upset about that. Like, especially when I know exactly where I'm going, and it seems like they're just going out of their way, totally. I'm like, where are you taking me? And should I be scared and, like, do, like, a Spy Kids move and open the door and just roll out into traffic? Should I do that?
I just want to see you do that one day.
I would love
to
do that.
And, like, IG story it. So my two biggest pet peeves, though, all right, is when an Uber or Lyft will, you know, say they're going to pick you up, but they're so far away. And you're like, no, I don't want you. I do not choose you. I cancel you, but then I'm going to have to pay for it. You're like, you should not be saying you're going to pick me up if you're 10 minutes away. That's
also
not fair.
I don't like it when I've had one Uber and I was like nice about it, but I had one Uber that it kind of it annoyed the fact to me that he was like, do you mind if I just go get some gas real quick? And he's already picked me up. He's already on my ride. And now we're like spending 5-10 minutes at the gas station for him to go fill up his tank. Well, he could have did that before accepting me.
First world problems, let's continue these.
I know.
But also, my biggest pet peeve is when they're parked, they're not finding you, and they're like 2 blocks away, and they're like, yeah, I can't find you. You got to walk to me.
Yeah.
No, I do not want to walk to you. That's why I called
that
the
is
car.
True. I should, that and that is to that's to Uber, Lyft, and Postmates. If my directions say come to my door, I expect you to bring the car in my living room.
Door-to-door service. Door-to-living room service.
Oh my God. Okay, so let's go back to social media. John said, as a driver, I picked up a girl at 10 a.m. on a Saturday. Basically told me she was super hungover from a wedding. She then says, I didn't know where I parked last night near the venue. After 10 minutes, we find her car. I let her out as she puked right next to my car. Hashtag this close.
At least it wasn't inside the car. Have you ever used an Uber or Lyft to deliver something to someone? I did
no.
that.
No, see, I don't trust that.
No, I did that,
I get
and
so
it worked.
Scared.
And I was just like, I was not going to get in a car and deliver this thing to
I thought you were going
to
be like, have you ever Ubered to a hookup? Yes, I have. I don't know why I thought you were going to say that.
Well, it's transportation.
That's true. Yeah.
So what? I'm sure you've Ubered to many hookups. So here's
the parking in Los Angeles is terrible.
Yeah. Why waste your time? Get right to it. So Quora.com had a great blog post about etiquette and suggestions for higher ratings. Here it is. One, don't talk too much.
Yes, please.
Yeah. So be understanding. People want to be quiet.
I think here's the thing. I think sometimes how I've kind of gotten away from it is I put my headphones in.
Yeah.
But there's nothing playing. But if I see them talking, I'll be like, oh, I can't. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. You're one of those, and it's silent.
Yeah.
The worst is, you know, like, I recently was getting my hair done at Dry Bar. This is like, you know, this kind of goes back to service type of industries.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't talking, and she goes, are you okay, miss? Are you sad? And I
go, guys do that to me here.
Oh, shut up. And I go, no, it's just different. That was a stranger, right? It's not like a friend. So
wait.
I go, yeah, I'm fine. Why? You're not talking. And I go, because I'm enjoying the silence. Like, that is not fair.
Wait, can we reveal
what?
Our Uber ratings? Can we go into our accounts and reveal how many stars we have?
You can look on mine. I don't know how to look at it.
I wanted you to guess. Guess how many stars
you
have.
I think I'm good. Out of 10?
No, out of 10. Is that it? Okay.
Out of 5, I think I'm a 4.
You think you're a 4?
Yeah.
Okay.
What am I?
All right. And I'm going to say before I looked, I think, honestly, I'm not sure because sometimes I feel like people can take my silence as rudeness. So I wouldn't be shocked if I was like a four or 3.5.
All right. So what is it? All right. Let's do
all right,
the reveal.
Drum roll. Here we go. Shira Lazar, you are actually a 4.73.
What? Yes.
I mean, I don't know.
Is there like an applause?
Is that necessarily good though?
Yeah, that's out of 5. Is that good? If you're an Uber or Lyft driver, call me. I want to know if that's a good rating. What do I have to do to get better?
I am, okay. Okay, studio audience, I love that.
Yes.
Okay, I am a 4.68.
Oh, I won!
You did win. You're just the nicer person in general.
I do talk to my Ubers and give them life advice, so that probably contributed. And that does it for today's show. Thanks so much for listening. We're going to be back Monday, same time, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. We've got a very special guest from Shondaland's For the People, Jasmine Savoy.
Yes.
Going to teach us how to be lawyers.
I mean, honestly, Kim K can do it. Anybody can.
Exactly. So tune in weekdays right here on Channel Q. Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan. 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. Have a great weekend. We're sending you love and light.
And honey, remember to slay.
See you Monday.